Today on the Great Solemnity of Pentecost, which concludes the Easter season, we hear some very vivid descriptions of the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles, tongues and flames of fire. And the apostles begin to speak in tongues. They begin to speak in languages which they are not familiar with, languages which they may have not even heard of before, let alone even been trained in. And today many people, when they think of the Holy Spirit coming upon a person, many people today, they think that speaking in tongues is one of the results, one of the consequences, one of the fruits of that. In fact, some of our Protestant brethren believe, erroneously, but they believe that unless a person is speaking in tongues, they have not yet fully received the Holy Spirit. But St. Paul makes it clear in one of his letters to the Corinthians that the Holy Spirit gives many gifts, and not all people receive all of the gifts. And speaking in tongues is just one of those gifts which the Holy Spirit gives. But it just goes to show that many people, they associate speaking in tongues with receiving the Holy Spirit. If I was to ask you here this morning to raise your hand if you've ever spoken in tongues or heard somebody speaking in tongues, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But if I was, I would estimate that I could count, out of the 129 of you here this morning, I would estimate that less than 10 of you, I could count on two hands the number of people who have either spoken in tongues before or heard somebody else speak in tongues. Most Catholics would say they've done neither. But that's not entirely accurate. There's a homily which came out of Northern Africa around the 6th century from a priest or a bishop, and this homily was written down. And in this homily, the priest or the bishop said that the Catholic Church is animated by the Holy Spirit. The Catholic Church is filled and given life by the Holy Spirit. And the Catholic Church proclaims the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in many languages. And so, us being members of the body of Christ, of Holy Mother Church, a role, a responsibility, a wonderful opportunity you received first at baptism. Since we are members of the body of Christ, and this body of Christ, the church, proclaims the gospel in many languages, then we, as members of the church, speak in tongues. Because today, the gospel is proclaimed in almost every language which currently exists on this planet. And you and I, as members of this body, we, as members of the church, proclaim that gospel. We speak in tongues. It's beautiful to think about it that way. I remember being in St. Peter's Square for many papal masses, and some of you here this morning have experienced the same, where you're in St. Peter's Square surrounded by 100,000 of your closest friends from well over 100 different countries. And although you cannot have a conversation with the person next to you, you're able to pray the same prayers at the same Mass. It's wonderful to think about that. I remember one Mass in particular was actually the funeral Mass for John Paul II. I was about halfway up in St. Peter's Square, right by the obelisk. And there was people from well over 100 different countries. And the only person I could have even a partial conversation with was a lady from Germany. I was recalling some of my German language from my 3 years in Germany. But the others, I cannot converse with. But when it came time for the Mass and the prayers and the responses, we were all praying in unison. It's absolutely wonderful. To think about, the word Catholic means universal. We're part of this worldwide universal church, which speaks in tongues. We should think about the mechanics of speaking. In order to speak, you first have to breathe air into your lungs. You have to have air in your lungs, and then that air is pushed out by your muscles through your larynx, passing through your vocal cords and out of your mouth to form sounds and words. And we think about Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, which says, God fashioned man out of dust from the soil. Then he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life. In Hebrew, ruach. And thus man became a living being. So clay was animated by ruach, the spirit, the breath of God, the spirit of life. The same spirit which gave mankind life also restores life to mankind. It renews the face of the earth, especially through the forgiveness of sins. When you go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, you'll hear the priest in the prayer of absolution say, God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and poured out the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. The word pneuma, which is a Greek word meaning breath or air, we use this word a lot, especially in the medical field today, but in other places as well. I remember in seminary, our class which studied the Holy Spirit was called pneumatology, study of the breath of God. And also, we have it in secular words too, right? Like if you have pneumatic tools at home, air power tools. The air is very important. If the air that we use to animate our life is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, which gives everlasting life, then we will be renewed as the face of the earth is renewed. But if that air is something different than the Holy Spirit, from God's Spirit, then our life is going to be something very different. Although I've never done this, I have witnessed people take a helium balloon and they will suck as much helium out of that balloon as they possibly can into their lungs, and then they will say something or they will try to sing something. I'm sure none of you here have ever done that. But if you've heard somebody do it, it's quite amusing, isn't it? Their voice sounds very different. Why? Because it's not the normal concentration of gas, of nitrogen and oxygen, which is passing through their larynx, passing through their vocal cords and out their mouth. And because of that, the words, the songs sound different. In a similar way, our life, our words, our actions, our thoughts will be animated by what type of air we are using, which breath we are using. If we are using the air of this world, the breath of the flesh, so to speak, St. Paul, in the second reading, he tells us what our life is going to be like if we're using the breath of flesh, of society, of the world. Our life will be filled with immorality and impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like. Then he goes on to say, he's warning us. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If our life, if our soul is using any breath other than the breath of God, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. St. Paul tells us right here. He's warning us. But he goes on to say, if we are allowing the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, to animate our life, then things are going to be quite different. We're going to have the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits including love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, forbearance, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. Very different. What you do, what you think, what you say will depend on the breath that animates your soul. Pentecost gives us a great opportunity to ask us, what language am I speaking? What air am I breathing? 2 years ago today, I was on the Kalispell Reservation celebrating Mass in the evening to conclude Pentecost, and one of the younger parishioners there, who is probably 18 or so months old at the time, and during Mass, throughout Mass, he just kept saying, Yahyeh, 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 Yahyeh. Well, for most people, it would just sound like gibberish, like the kids just rambling on, just babbling, baby talk. But at that Mass, I realized, and it was beautiful because it was happening at Pentecost. I knew what he was saying. I only know a few words in Salish, and Yahyeh is one of them. It's grandmother. He's asking for his grandmother during Mass. I could understand it. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience for me. But we're called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. And as I've mentioned several times before, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's going to sound like a foreign language to many in this world. It's going to sound like gibberish. It's going to sound like nonsense to many. And they will reject it. They will refute it. And they will ignore it. But to many whose hearts are open to truth, who are trying to follow God, then they will hear the gospel. They will hear these words of life. And it will renew them. The Holy Spirit will renew them as the Holy Spirit renews the face of the earth. Remember, the air which animates you, the breath which animates you, will determine everything. Not just here on this planet, but especially in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.